Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Look, if you're a Boston Red Sox fan, today you are riding a high. The celebration parade is complete. The Red Sox definitely going through what was one of the more unbelievable gauntlets that we have seen in quite some time. And unless you've been living under a rock, you know they are World Series champions. Joining us right now to talk about that and what lies ahead in the offseason, we have Bill Lasky. He joins us each week to talk Major League Baseball. Bill, it's been so much fun throughout this entire year breaking down the big leagues every single week. Now we've reached the end of the season. Before we get into some of the hot stove talk, I mentioned the gauntlet that the Boston Red Sox had to go through. They had to get past the Yankees, 100-win team, had to get past the Astros, 100-win team, had to get past the Dodgers, two-time NL champions, and they did it in suffering only three losses throughout the postseason. Fairly remarkable when you think about it.
Well, they're World Series champions, no doubt about it. And when you look at their offensive numbers and how many wins they've had, and you start looking at all the history of the Red Sox, and they definitely put it all together. I thought the moves were made very strategically. Bringing Sale in to end that last game, I thought was awesome. And to watch the Dodgers lose, I couldn't be more happy.
Well, you know, when I go back and I look at this series, I'll tell you, Bill, what really strikes me, and I think we may even be talking about Game 7 tonight if the Dodgers don't blow Game 4. And you know what? And I'm not even using this as an indictment against the Dodgers. I'm talking about the heart and I guess the camaraderie and the strength that Boston shows in a game being down 4-0 when Rich Hill is just dealing. To me, that's the culmination of a season of which the Red Sox put together. You're down 4-0 in the seventh frame and come back and get a 9-6 win over the Dodgers. This series looks completely different if they don't rally in those final three innings.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And to have Rich Hill go to Dave Roberts saying, hey, I'm running out of gas, I just shook my head on that because as an old-school baseball pitcher as I was, don't take the ball out of my hand until I can't throw another pitch. And to have him worry about, hey, I'm losing strength or I'm losing power, that's not your decision. The opposing team's going to tell you if you're losing strength or power when they start hitting you, and he was dealing that whole game. The Red Sox couldn't even come close to manufacturing even runners on base to try to score a run. He really out-dueled them, and then all of a sudden he just more or less said, well, give it to the bullpen, and sure enough Dave Roberts did, and Kenley Jensen, his number one guy, got beat up, and that's what ended up happening. The key players, the pitchers, Kershaw, Jensen, a couple other ones, they didn't pitch well in the month of October, and that's been the trouble point with the Dodgers. They don't know why, and you start looking at some of the pitches that Kershaw made, the ball got up, and the Red Sox didn't miss. And, of course, the last game, they beat them up pretty good, and that's a hard note again for Kershaw to go home and think about in the offseason when we saw him do the same thing last year. So there's some things that the Dodgers have to fill out. They have to, of course, all the fans were all over Dave Roberts for all the moves he made and all the analytics, and I'm sure you and I have talked about this so much this year. When you look down the bench, you had a couple coaches with three-ring notes, and then you had a guy with a computer, an iPad on him, telling him everything that they wanted him to do, and which he did, and they ended up losing again. So I don't believe analytics really won the World Series. I just think the World Series was won by a better team, the Red Sox.
I agree 100% with everything you just said. And in fact, talking about the gauntlet that they went through, the fact that they beat two 100-win teams in the postseason, 3-1, 4-1, and they beat the Dodgers 4-1, I don't think there's any question about it. But Bill, I want to bring up a particular pitcher that I also believe won this series for Boston. And I know we're looking at 4-1. It looks like domination, but there were just key instances in this series that allowed Boston to get a series win in five games. Otherwise, again, I don't think it's far-fetched to believe we still have a baseball game tonight. You talked about Rich Hill wanting to be taken out of Game 4. Nathan Eovaldi was unbelievable out of the bullpen for the Red Sox in that 18-inning game where he threw upwards of 100 pitches out of the bullpen. There's the difference between these two teams. Rich Hill wants out. Nathan Eovaldi may have given up a game-winning shot to Max Muncy, but at the same time, if he doesn't throw 100 pitches, who knows what the Red Sox staff looks like going into Game 4?
Oh, I totally agree. And here's a guy that was a pitcher that was very good with the Marlins as a starting pitcher. And I remember him pitching some great games for them. And then they put him in the bullpen. And I also look at Kelly, too, who was really a dominant pitcher with the Cardinals. So they really did. Dombrowski definitely picked up a couple good arms and transferred him into the bullpen. And these guys were just key pieces to get through those middle innings. And as you said, the game that he pitched in 18 innings, I just couldn't believe he kept going out there. But his stuff was so dynamic. His off-speed was filthy. Velocities in the high 90s. And it was that was a tough game. And you know, going back on what you said, there were some key points in all these games that the Red Sox made. Some great moves, some good hitting, some great opposite field hitting. And those are the things that I saw the Red Sox hitters do. They didn't give in at all. And when you see Pierce, who's a guy that played with so many different teams, come in, those are the good stories that come through a World Series. A guy that's battled through his whole career and comes up with key home runs, key hits, and played very well for the Red Sox. And here's a guy that nobody even thought about down the road. But Dave Dombrowski sure finds him. And each one of those pieces that he put in, that puzzle was filled. And they can, you know, as they did today, driving down Red Sox way, and they had that World Series trophy high and proud, and each one of those guys had smiles ear to ear.
You called it. You said the Red Sox would win this series in five. And, Bill, if you'd have told me this stat at the beginning of the World Series, I'd have said there's no way in hell they're winning this series in five games. They might not even win this series at all, because we talked about how potent this offense was. Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts combined for, I believe, seven hits in this series. It was seven or eight hits. That's astonishing, considering how good these two were, 1-2 in that lineup. They never really found a rhythm. I know Betts went yard in the closeout game five. Wasn't a lot of pressure at that particular time. The Red Sox were in control. But if you would have told me that stat, I'd have thought there's no way this team wins in five games, because those two were key all year long. But it is a true testament to the offense front to back, not just with Bogaerts and Betts.
I agree totally, and that's when you start saying, who is the guy? Who is the next guy? Who's going to pick us up? And as you just said, the two key components in that offense didn't do anything. And the guys that, you know, Bogaerts are one, could be the possible MVP in the American League. And it's just some of the things that happened in that World Series where you call it a team. It was an individual. Just from, you know, when you look at David Price, tying him up, coming out of the bullpen, starting the last game. I mean, guys like that just gutted it out, and you hear it so many times. These guys went out there daily, and they were sore, no doubt about it. They were stiff, sore. They wanted to get out there and win. And as American League team, to have the most wins in the whole Major League Baseball season, to win this whole thing and win it in five games in the World Series, just shows how together that team was. And you know, you and I talked about Martinez, J.D. Martinez, going into the National League team and playing left field, playing right field. They switched on certain players. I mean, here's a guy that didn't really put a glove on all year, and he's in a position where he can make a mistake and cost them. But in the long run, it was a good move, and I thought they played very well through the whole playoffs. And congratulations to the Red Sox.
Hands down. Again, we're being joined right now by Bill Lasky, former major league pitcher, now an analyst for the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk more about his work in just a moment. Bill, now we start talking hot stove, but I think this offseason is going to be very interesting. First things first, we can talk about the Dodgers, because they have two big question marks here. First off, has Clayton Kershaw pitched his final game in a Dodger uniform? And if that is the case, we're talking about one of the most decorated pitchers in a storied franchise's history. He's done everything you can think of except win a World Series. And on the flip side of that, we have Manny Machado, who didn't necessarily perform all that well. I don't know if there was a lot of team camaraderie between Machado. Did not play well in the postseason once again. Those are the two big question marks for the Dodgers this offseason.
Yeah, and those are two big ones because I think Machado showed a little dirty player in him, and some of the things he didn't produce when he should have, just like the ball he thought was a home run, hits the wall and he gets a base hit out of it. These things are livid with me. As an old school baseball player, you know, running into the first baseman saying, oh, I didn't hit him. And it's so apparent that he kicked him. I mean, those are different things that I saw about him. And here's a guy that could be getting, you know, a $200 to $300 million deal, and he's showing the opposite side that he should be doing. And I just don't think the Dodgers want to re-sign him. I think they're going to let him go. Now, Kershaw on the other side wants a 2 to 3 year extension. You know, do you question what he's done in the past for you as a Dodger? Do you let him go? And then you start looking at injuries that he had, lower back injuries. He's had that for many years. Do you put that many millions of dollars into him, or do you say, go ahead, walk away? There's a lot of questions there. And then you look at the Houston Astros, who has 4 or 5 players that they're wondering, do we re-sign? Do we try to up them in an extension? So there are some key teams that were in the playoffs that are going to have to decide on what they're going to do with some franchise players.
Outside of the Dodgers, all eyes will definitely be on Bryce Harper. And look, L.A. may very well be a possible destination for him. I think if I had to put together a short list, I would say he either stays put in Washington, goes to L.A., maybe Chicago, maybe Philadelphia. I think it's a very short list for Bryce Harper. I don't see him going to the AL. Curious as to your thoughts on Harper.
Yeah, I think he'll stay in the National League also. I believe that. But, you know, all I'm reading now is about the Phillies. They want to spend some money in a one point they were saying they may even go after Machado and Harper because they really, really think the nucleus of this team is a youthful movement, no doubt, but they want to get some veteran leadership that can give that power in the middle of the order. And they said Bryce Harper is one big name that they're ready to throw the bundle of money in to go get. And then yesterday I was watching MLB Network and they're saying, hey, they may even get Machado too. And I'm like, wow. So there is some money that's going to be thrown out by the Phillies. They're in to win it. You start looking at some of the other teams. Are the Mets going to unload some of these starting pitchers? They have a new general manager who is a baseball agent. So, you know, there's going to be some questions. Of course, I look at my Giants here, and the Giants are still looking for a baseball ops guy as well as a GM, talking to a lot of different names, a lot of names popping up. And what are they going to do here? They just exercised Madison Bumgarner for a 1 year left on his extension for $12 million. And, of course, Pablo gets the minimum because Boston's still paying him $18 million. So there are a lot of holes here and also a lot of talk about trades. And I always look back, well, it's all speculation because you don't have a lead dog to make those moves yet. So the Giants are a rare team that's really looking for leadership right now and where they're going to go through the free agency. But this free agency, there's a lot of top players, as well as the minor league free agents. That's where a lot of teams steal a player here and there. So it'll be a fun hot stove. It'll be a fun hot stove for you and I to talk about some of the moves and some of the thoughts that some of these teams are going and move forward till that December winter meetings.
Yeah, I definitely can't wait for it. You know, you bring up Madison Bumgarner. So I got to ask you this, Bill. 1 year left on that deal right now that they've exercised it. If the offseason does not go well for the San Francisco Giants, is it out of the realm of possible to think that they would look to move on from Bumgarner and get some assets for him sooner rather than later?
Yeah, and I think that's my, you know, that's one speculation they're saying. They've been talking about that the whole month of September as velocity's down a little bit. And he came in spring training last year like a horse. He was so strong, throwing the ball real well. And then, of course, the last game he's in the line drive comes and breaks his finger, his thumb, and then he was struggled. He struggled for a couple months to get his timing back, his rhythm back, and he threw some real good games. That's one big question. They said if they traded him, they could get some marquee pieces, some young talent. Yankees always been wanting him for sure. But then, you know, I look at it this way. I just think they'll go through spring training with him and see how he does the first half. And then at All-Star break, if he's having a good half of the season and the Giants are mid-season form, halfway in the pack, I think that's where they can get the most value out of him. But again, you're rolling the dice on him having a good first half. But he's been the horse on this rotation for many years. Everybody knows what he's done in the playoffs and World Series. his numbers are phenomenal, and that's what every team wants to see in that October, month of October. How good are you? How can you handle the pressure? And there's no doubt he's in the top three pitchers that can do that in the World Series.
No question. Bill, before I let you go, one more question regarding possible free agent pitchers. I'm going to give you three names. Throw dollar signs out. I just want your opinion on which pitcher, if you were the general manager of a team, which pitcher would you target? Let's assume Clayton Kershaw opts out, because I think he's going to. So let me throw Clayton Kershaw, Patrick Corbin, and I'll even throw Dallas Keuchel, who didn't have a great season, but again, we're talking about a World Series champ. Those should be the top three starting pitchers on the market this offseason. Which one would you highly pursue if you're a GM of a team?
Yeah, I think the money aspect's going to change everything on Kershaw, because he's looking for big dollars. Of course, I've watched him pitch every game for the Dodgers, being a Giants analyst. I mean, he's got some superior stuff when he's on. The guy that jumps off on that list is Corbin. I've watched him throw the Diamondbacks. A lot of teams are looking at him as a top left-hander. Good velocity, good curveball, good changeup. Pitched very well for Arizona for the past few years, and he's that unlikely number one ace. Then you look at the Astros. The Astros have a couple guys with Verlander being the ace there, I think the Astros aren't going to let none of these guys go. I think they have rallied. They've done very well. They came up short this year against the Red Sox. But if I'm looking at anybody, I think I might go after Corbin. I think Corbin's got a lot of pluses and not too many injuries. And when you look at Kershaw, the lower back is a problem when I start looking at free agency. A lower back has a tendency to, you can't really strengthen a lower back. It's always going to come back to you. So I think Corbin's my number one pick out of those three.
Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, now joins us each week to talk some Major League Baseball. Bill, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find you.
Yeah, at Lasky19 on Twitter. I'm popping in and out of there and just starting to see what's going to happen here in the offseason. And I think the biggest thing now is just watching what the Giants put together in the front office and see their new GM and what his thoughts or her thoughts will be, because a female GM could happen.
Yeah,
let's
definitely
just see what happens. But another great season talking baseball with you, and hopefully your listeners love it. And I always enjoy talking baseball with you, and hope we can do it again.
Absolutely, Bill. I look forward to it. Again, thank you for the time, and I know we'll do it again soon.
Excellent. Thank you again, and happy Halloween to everybody.
Happy Halloween to you as well, Bill. That's Bill Lasky, former Major League Baseball pitcher, joining us to recap the 2018 season. Like I said, we'll be talking hot stove relatively soon. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, I'm going to talk college football. The first edition of the college football playoff rankings came out yesterday. Now, I tend to not really, I'm not going to say care, but get too worked up about the initial rankings because there's so much football left to be played. But the SEC bias just continues to ring true in the world of college football. We'll talk about that when we return. It's a Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.